And I do pray that you'd help us to approach them properly and be faithful to thee. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, I forgot the microphone. Jerry was covering for me. I saw you had the other mic on. Don't shake your head at me. Okay, Daniel 7. Last week I went through some of this where if you have a Scofield Reference Bible, he will have the four beasts. He will line them up with Babylon, Media-Persia, Greece, and Rome. And in verse 17, when you study the Bible, any of us can just miss these verses. It's nothing, you know, saying Scofield's a heretic and all this kind of garbage. He wasn't a Bible believer, but God still gave him a lot of things. And what I do like about his reference Bible is he I don't know if he did it on purpose, but he let the cat out of the bag about the favorite manuscripts of the New Bibles. Footnote, Mark 16, verse 9. He put it right in there. And so that's one thing about him that the other guys don't do. They don't tell you the names of them, because when you learn the names, then you learn the lies about it. Okay, but in verse 17, it says that these beasts rise up after Babylon. So we got to jump at one. Okay, and then it will fit the beautiful puzzle that the Bible is. The Bible is a fascinating book, especially when you learn the dispensations of the Bible. It don't make any much sense without the dispensations. So again, for many, many years, the prophecy teachers in America, they basically taught what Clarence Larkin taught and what Scofield taught, which wasn't all that bad. But they did, as we are tempted also, approaching the Bible from a Western viewpoint rather than an Eastern viewpoint, because the Bible is a Middle Eastern book. And so the Westerners will say, verse 4, just review from last week, verse 4, the Westerners will say that this is England, okay? And prior to Calvary, it would have been Media-Persia. Okay, then the Westerners will make the next one Greece, falling in line. And then they'll say, after Calvary, Russia. And then before Calvary, the next one will be Rome. And then after Calvary, they will think that's the United States. Okay, but I'm going to stick with the Middle Eastern viewpoint of it. So, Media-Persia today is Iran, and then Greece today is what's called Turkey or the Ottoman Empire, and then the Rome of those days would be the Eastern Roman Empire, and it's coming around. The Northern Rome of Africa would be the Western Roman Empire. That's the Revised Roman Empire, and to me, that makes more sense, because all of those countries are dominated by Muslims. And obviously we know the choice of execution in the tribulation will be the beheading. And so this is the idea why Muslims are migrating throughout the whole world. Okay, now even down in Panama, they got a big mosque, but nobody's there. They just put a building up. Okay, and so some of us are old enough to remember A Thief in the Night. Do you remember when that came out? And they had the nice little guillotine and all that stuff. Not nice, but, you know, they had a very quick way of killing. It's the Muslim way. It's the Muslim way with a saw or dull knife. Okay, and that would make more sense. And it does explain why Muslims are going throughout the world. And in Europe and England, they're really having a tough time with this. And so that would be Daniel 7, verse 4, 5, 6, 7. And then verse 7 would be the Antichrist, the kingdom of the Antichrist. And then verse 8, he points at one part of the Antichrist, which be, or one part of the kingdom, would be the Antichrist himself. The second most popular character in the Bible is the Antichrist. In verse 8, I considered the horns, and behold, there came up one among them, another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things. Okay, so again, verse 8, if we're going to believe what it says, and to me, doesn't that seem strange to you like it does me, where he describes, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man. Does that imply he's not a man? Does that imply maybe like the scribes and Pharisees where Jesus said, you're of your father the devil, that was literal? Is it implying that Judas Iscariot, who appeared to be a man, who was actually a devil? Okay, where those some of those men on the instigated the crucifixion were flesh and blood men. Some of the Pharisees were flesh and blood men, like Nicodemus. But then there were some who were, you're like them mighty men of renown in Genesis chapter 6, where they were devils or fallen angels masquerading to be men. So the Antichrist is going to be a very unusual thing. And if we're alert to things, I dare say that as it was in the days of Noah, we are seeing many things that's very strange. Okay, where a lot of celebrities or people in positions of authority are not what we think they are. Okay, like this one little gal, or is she a boy, that got the Person of the Year award. I mean, yeah, that Greta somebody. If that ain't a boy, I don't know what is. And they're just using that, propping it up to push something on this world, and they're claiming to use science, and what they're not doing is using science. They're using pseudoscience. I find it interesting. The ones who claim to be using science are evolutionists, textual critics, transgenders, and a climate change, and not one of them are using science. It's all based on imagination. And that's the devil's sleight of hand. Okay, so in verse 8, we have the little horn, the Antichrist. Then we got a paragraph mark. Okay, and it says, and I beheld till the thrones were cast down. Okay, the thrones of the world are cast down at the second coming of Christ. But as Daniel is witnessing this and trying to describe this, no doubt he was confused. He gets so confused in verse 15, it makes him upset, sick. You ever get sick trying to figure out some things in the Bible? Well, Daniel did. Okay, and so sometimes in the Bible you have, okay, if we're going to read this chronologically, till the thrones were cast down, that is when all the kingdoms of the world are given to Jesus or he conquers them. And then it says, comma, and the Ancient of Days did sit. That looks like the white throne judgment. That's 1,000 years later. But remember, at a comma or a conjunction, the Bible can jump 1,000 or 2,000 years. It does do that on occasion. So it looks like in verse 9 and 10 that he's going to come through the white throne judgment. If we go to Revelation 20, we see the chronology of it, how it's laid out. And but then he jumps back in verse 11 to the Antichrist. And so he's going back and forth. And a person says, why didn't you just do it the way... Well, God wants us to study. And besides, man, this is new stuff. It's hard to figure out new things in the Bible. Okay, so if you would get to Revelation 20 and then in Daniel 7, verse 9... And in Daniel 12, verse 4, the Lord told Daniel, okay, we're going to seal this book up. Okay, the book is sealed. And so just think, people during Jesus' day, they didn't understand Daniel. Okay, and people in 500 AD, they didn't understand Daniel. It's becoming open here in the last 100 years. You know, one of the big beefs, you know, they say about dispensations, well, that was a Danbury Baptist that got that going in the early 1800s. Well, first off, it's not true, it was before that. But still, if that is true, what's wrong with that? I would dare say in the millennium, we're going to elbow each other when Jesus is teaching something and say, you missed that one, didn't you? One of many. I mean, when you get the master teacher, Jesus Christ, I mean, come on. Okay, so in Daniel 7, verse 9, till the thrones were cast down, the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. Okay, oh boy. And then chapter 20. Okay, chapter 20, we're going to kind of skim down through it. At the end of 19, you have Antichrist, false prophet, thrown into the lake of fire. Beginning of chapter 20, the devil is bound in chains, thrown into the bottomless pit, two separate places. He is held in the dungeon of the earth for 1,000 years. Jesus Christ is ruling on earth for 1,000 years from Jerusalem. Okay, and then at the end of that, after he reigns 1,000 years, verse 4, 5, okay, then the resurrection of the dead occur, where the rapture and the New Testament believers are resurrected from the dead, and that was confusing to the apostles when Jesus introduced that idea. Then at the end of 1,000 years, verse 7, Satan is let loose for a short time, deceives a bunch of people, the sand of the sea. They have one last stand, Custer's last stand, you know, there. And the Lord just says, okay, boom, and everything explodes. And people who were in the bottomless pit all those years are now floating, chapter 20, verse 11, where they're going to be before the white throne. And then you'll see the words, the dead, the dead, the dead, the dead. They're judged. So who is judged there? All lost people throughout history and the righteous of the Old Testament, the righteous of the millennium, because they're looking in a book to see if their name's written in Lamb's Book of Life. If they're all lost, why would they waste the time looking in a book? Because the judgment seat is only for born-again believers. That was only revealed by Paul to born-again believers. And so the white throne judgment is going to cover Adam all the way through until Calvary, all the righteous of the Old Testament, all the lost of the Old Testament, all the lost of the New Testament, and then all the lost of the trib and millennium, and then the righteous of the millennium and the trib. Okay, and so that's the white throne judgment. Back in chapter 7, verse 9. Okay, this description is really something that's kind of tough to figure out, but you got flames shooting out there. Okay, and this is what the Wizard of Oz faked. And so he's trying to get people to think that if you do get to the brick roads in heaven, that at the end you're going to go see nothing but a bunch of hot air. That's the whole purpose of that, is to just try to destroy people's faith in the Word. Okay, and then what's her name? Dies of suicide. Dopehead. Okay, and so at the white throne judgment, what's going to happen? Okay, there's a fiery flame. Now those wheels, I don't know what they are. Not a clue. Ezekiel 1 describes them. But there is a common saying that goes with it. Ever hear somebody say, well, he's a big wheel? That's where that comes from. Ezekiel 1. It's something associated with God. Okay, his wheels as burning fire. So we got flame shooting out there. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. And then it says, thousands ministered unto him. And 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set and the books were opened. Now, that's not a hard, fast rule, but I tend to kind of think that throughout history, how many people are actually going to make to heaven? How many people are going to be saved or righteous? It seems that the Lord does go with a tenth. You have 1,000 ministering to him. What's that? Well, that's born-again believers who will be like the clerk, the bailiff, the testimony, where we will testify. Okay, we are ministering to the judge, and then the one standing in front of them is 10 times. 1,000 times 10. Now, who all is going to be judged there? Well, all the lost, okay, and then fallen angels. Can you imagine we judge fallen angels? That is not going to be too tough to judge. Hello? You were in heaven, and you chose to become flesh. You know, I said that to a Mormon kid one time. I was trying to describe to him about being born again, and I said, "What'd you do to get born the first time?" He said, "Well, I decided to." And that was a new one on me. You get all kinds. And I said, "Really? I never heard of that one. Explain that." He was in the spirit world, and he became flesh. And I said to him, "Whoa. I know angels are spiritual, and they become flesh. They're doomed to hell." I said, "Man, your future is not looking real good, pal." So when we parted company at the door, I said, "Now remember, you chose to become flesh. You are not in a good way, pal. You better figure that out." Okay, so the books were opened. Judgment was set. Okay, for us, the New Testament believer, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Okay, in verse 2, he throws out questions here. Maybe you got a guy on the job that says, "Hey, Deacon Bill," and this like that, you know. And you just laugh about it and say, "How you doing, Sinner Bob?" You know, just throw it right back on him. Okay, but the world makes fun of us and judges us down here. Guess what? 1 Corinthians 6, 2. "Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world?" Yep. "And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life?" So that's at that white throne. The Lord will call us to testify. A person comes up there and says, "Well, I never heard anything about the gospel. I never heard anything." And he said, "Okay, do you remember that day when you said that?" "Yeah, I witnessed to him in that one day." And then watch the guy, "Eh." You know, and then this guy's going to argue with God and all that stuff. I just can't imagine that. But what it shows that is, okay, when Judas came in to get Jesus, and then he said, "Who are you looking for?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." He said, "I am." What'd they do? They fell on the ground on their face, and then they had to pick themselves up and then take him into town to kill him. Is that not pride? That's the pride of man. Okay, so in verse 9 and 10, just a general idea. I would say during times of revival, maybe the righteous get above 10%, times of apostasy below 10%. It's not a hard, fast rule. It's just something thrown out there. Okay, and then verse 11, now Daniel jumps back into the tribulation. He's going to start describing the Antichrist. I mean, when you first seen it, you go to there and then you come back here. So he says, "I beheld them because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake. I beheld till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame." Okay, so chronologically, it's Revelation 19. Where the Antichrist and false prophet are thrown into the bottomless pit. They get fired. "As concerning the rest of the beast." Okay, the beast. In verse 17, these beasts are kingdoms. Okay, so that's why David says it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Okay, anybody can see that the Democrats are just ball-faced liars. But so are the vast majority of the Republicans. They don't get there by, being nice to their mother. I mean, that's just reality. And so we don't put confidence in those. We put confidence in the Lord. Okay? And then as 1 Timothy says, we pray for those. So then he says, as concerning the rest of the beast, they have their dominion taken away. Okay, so that would be, in this context, that would be 4, 5, and 6. So those will give up their dominion and voluntarily give it to the Antichrist. Why will they do that? It's because God puts the thoughts in their head, the being's head, and they will act upon that thought, thinking that it's a good idea. But it came from God. Okay, the authority for that is Revelation 17, 17. Okay, now the devil can do this same thing, give people thoughts and they act upon it. God will give these thoughts. God will make a prophecy or prediction. He writes it down. And then he'll give thoughts to people to fulfill this prophecy. Now these people choose to do it of their free will. They're not forced to do it. Okay, the devil, he's able to do the same thing, but God has a perfect track record, and the devil doesn't have as good a track record. Okay, in Revelation 17, 17, it says, God hath put in their hearts, in the context, you'll see in verse 16, 10 horns, beasts. So we are setting in the same context. God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will. And to agree. Okay, when it says and to agree, these beings are agreeing with the thoughts. So they believe that they're, they think it's an original thought, but it came from God. And then it says, and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. Now these beasts didn't have family devotions that morning with, her and say, well, let's fulfill the will of God today. No, they just acted on something God gave them. God, it says in Acts that God was determined to bring his son to Calvary in Acts 2. But in Acts 3, it says man was determined to bring Christ to Calvary. So God and man and the devil were all working together on Calvary. Now, they each had different reasons. God had a reason to fulfill his love through his son to satisfy holiness and justice. The devil was thinking, I can destroy God and take over the world kingdom. And man was just part of the program. So, shall we say the sovereignty of God and the sovereignty of man met at Calvary? That's a nice statement for a Calvinist. Where man in his sovereignty can overthrow God's sovereignty. And the idea of being sovereign, if you look at the word, the last five letters is to reign. God gives us that sovereignty in our free will where I choose. That's what sovereignty is. I choose to do something. Now, I don't care who it is, sometimes when... Okay, like Richard Wurmbrand, when he went through those years in solitary confinement, they would beat him and beat him and beat him. But in his will, they could make him do things, but in his will, he tried to stay true to God. Okay, and that's his sovereignty over his will. That's what God breathed into Adam, the breath of life. I mean, a perfect example of this is in 1 Samuel 23, it's a Calvinist conundrum, if they find it, where David was running from Saul. He was at Keilah, and he And he asked the Lord, are the men of Keilah going to turn me over to Saul? And the Lord said, yes, they are. You know what David did? He left. And guess what the men of Keilah didn't do? They didn't turn him over. Why? Because his will determined it. Boy, Calvinists have a hard time with that. You know, but, you know, I always put the zinger on the Calvinists, and so it's never discussed. You know, I was predestinated not to be one, and so they just don't know what to do with that. You have to be born a Calvinist. You cannot choose it because you don't have a free will. It's like an Amish. You got to be born an Amish. If you're not Amish, you got to sit in the shunner's bench in the back. I mean, that gives no hope to anybody. So Daniel 7, these beasts are going to give up their immediate fulfillment, give it to the Antichrist, because that's what God wants them to do, to fulfill his task. You see, God is the one that's getting these Muslims to migrate throughout the world. He's setting things up just as pretty as could be. And if God would have read the books I read, he would have came back good 20 years ago. But he's not following our material. And so in verse 13, he says, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man. Son of Man is usually a Jewish idea. Came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Okay, so the Lord Jesus. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, languages should serve him. Now I like that. They should serve him. I can't imagine people rejecting Jesus Christ in the millennium. I just don't get that. 1,000 year, there's no scandal. You get to work and keep the fruit of your labor. And you don't. And it says he prepares his table in front of his enemies. The pride of man. I mean, it's just amazing. And so it says they should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. And then we got a paragraph mark. So right in verse 15, Daniel, he can't figure this out. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me, kept him up at night. He couldn't figure this out. And, you know, he would ask the Lord, and sometimes the Lord would give him an immediate interpretation of it, but the other times they just had to go on. So then he says, I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of the things. Okay, so here's the interpretation of verse 17. This is so easy to get. These great beasts, which are four kings, which shall arise out of the earth. Okay, so every one of these beasts are beasts of prey. Okay, we can't imagine, you know, how ruthless that these beasts will be. I remember seeing a documentary about Joseph Stalin by his daughter. And she said he had 8 bedrooms. The reason why is he didn't know which one to be sleeping in because somebody would assassinate. He lived in fear. If he looked out the window, he saw 2 people talking. He assumed they was talking about him, and he'd take them out. That guy was responsible for the death of 50 million people. How could a guy sleep at night like that? Can you imagine some of the ghosts coming and keeping him up at night? No doubt this stuff happened. You see, and these guys get so possessed that it keeps coming back on them. Okay, and so in this case, Daniel is saying, hey, these are beasts, these are lions, they're tigers, they're leopards. You can't turn your back on that. And that's why in Proverbs 23, when it says, if you sit down to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what's in front of you. Don't turn your back on them. Okay, and so then verse 17, very easy. It's right in the scriptures. Verse 18, but the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom. Okay, saints in this context will be Israel. Okay, the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Not the church, not this new Israel. This is the nation of Israel. Then, so that answered, that satisfied Daniel. Then he says, then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, because that thing really set him off. That fourth beast was a bear, a lion, and a leopard all put together. I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron. Oh, we got the Iron Man. So Hollywood is getting people ready for this. Hollywood has been working on this, getting young people, because they will believe this. And this is why all these cartoons and Harry Potter and all this stuff is coming up, this next generation, and they're getting spiritual power. And the devil is going to use that. Okay, so you got this iron, according to Daniel 2, that's iron mingled with clay. That would be a, you know, combination between some strange being and flesh. And his nails of brass, which devoured. Okay, which devoured? Is that literal? 1 Peter 5, Satan's a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. Is that literal? Devouring, is that actually eating people? Is that how they got to survive? They got to survive off human blood and human flesh? Boy, there's a lot of scripture on that. There's more scripture on that than there is church membership, baptism, and tithing all put together. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge who eat up my people as they eat bread? Twice, Psalm 14, Psalm 53. Eat people, cut them up. The Catholic Church pretended this morning. Now, we know they're pretending. They don't think they're pretending. But in Psalm 79, it says, the bodies of the saints are on heaps around about Jerusalem. They're going to be killing them. It is beyond our imagination how bad it's going to be. Blood is going to run everywhere. Drinking the blood and eating the flesh and cannibalism. And I tell you, the powers that be are pushing they're pushing it for cannibalism. Pushing it for the babies. You know, as far as that goes and as far as the world goes, China's doing it. What difference does it make if you're an evolutionist? It doesn't matter. You see? And so all this stuff, the Bible's geared up, this devouring, and it says he's going to flay, in Micah 3, he's going to flay the skin from off them. Man, this Bible is amazing. And we are actually seeing things being reported here and there. You read the Bible, you know what's going to be in the newspaper. It's an amazing book. Devoured, which devoured, break in pieces, and stamp the residue with his feet. Okay, in that context will be the Jews, obviously, the Jewish people. Verse 20, and of the 10 horns that were in his head, so the common phrase is a 10-horned dictator, and of the other which came up, and before whom 3 fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. I beheld in the same horn made war with the saints. Okay, so Israel. And prevailed against them. God is allowing that. Where of the 144,000 Jews that come to the Messiah as a result of seeing the Antichrist demand worship, A tenth of them will voluntarily stay in Jerusalem, knowing that they're going to be sacrificed and eaten in a religious ceremony. And the rest take off throughout the world and preach the gospel of the kingdom. They don't have to know languages because they have the gift of tongues. All that stuff is Jewish, and it all comes up back to them. And they'll have they can drink any deadly thing because it won't hurt them. That's Mark 16. All that's on hold now, but all that comes back in play in the tribulation. And it makes perfect sense when you understand those doctrines. They don't have time to learn a language. So God gives it to them on the spot. And they'll grab Hebrews and read the amendment. Figure that out. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. They just got to read from Hebrews to the end. Man, they don't got much time to be reading. And they say, it's written in Hebrews. That's me. 12 tribes. That's me. Scattered. That's me. So they get it figured out. They got to get it figured out quick. And we're in heaven, and when we're done with the judgment, if we're in the waiting room at the judgment seat, you know, they got a TV in there, Channel 7, you can see what's going on downstairs. Channel 6 is the world. Channel 13, that's the Antichrist. Okay, let's check Israel. Channel 12, back and forth, keep track of everything. So he says in verse 22, until the ancient days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Restoration of Israel. So that timing, verse 22 matches verse 9. Verse 23 says, and he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth. And it shall tread it down and break it in pieces. The devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And the ten horns out of this kingdom are the ten kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings. You know, a person can guess and try to figure who it out. Doesn't matter. And he shall speak great words against the Most High. Okay, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. Okay, that's a Muslim doctrine. Okay, where this is going to be a part Muslim, part Jew, and there's a doctrine in the Muslim culture that you don't take the calendar of them heathen. So he's going to change times and laws. And they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and dividing of a time. That's pretty well a no-brainer there. 3.5 years set there. And the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. The end. There you go. Man, circle that. The end. You're going to find that all over. I got a bunch of cross-references on that one. The end. Let's see. I just threw 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of them. Six of them there. But then if you run into the other places, there's a bunch more you can throw in on that one. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom unto the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. That's Israel, restoration of the nation of Israel. Okay, and then hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations, okay, meditate, active thinking, much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. See, there's, you know, that's some of the things in the Bible, you just got to chalk it down, man. I can't figure that out. You know, they say three words that men find it hard to say. I don't know. I find them very easy to say. Just be honest. I don't know. So, okay, that's chapter 7. We'll go ahead and stop there and pray. Lord, I do thank you for your words, for the prophecies of your word. Thank you for your power, for your wisdom. And Lord, we are asking that that last prayer in the Bible, even so come, Lord Jesus. That's what we're asking for. In Jesus' name, amen.